Well, why don't we get rolling? This is... Well, let me try that again. For some reason, I want to get a running start at this one. Let me take a sip of beer and calm myself.
You have beer? Wait a second. Hang on. I'm going to get a beer, too.
My brother just offered me a beer, but I turned it down because I'm on call.
Meta Filter, monthly podcast, Cortex, Jess, and Howie, talking people, boosting projects, asking questions. These are all our favorites. I have a Whale Tail Pale Ale.
Excellent. I'm drinking a Terrapin Beer Co. Liquid Bliss Chocolate Peanut Butter Porter.
That is not a beer.
And it uses the Harry Potter font.
I think GJ's laughing because he thinks Whale Tail has something to do with underwear, and he doesn't know that I live up the road from where Moby Dick was written.
I contain multitudes. I know it means both things, so I'm fine.
I mean, Moby Dick has the word dick in it, so we really can't.
It does.
We can't class it too much, even, you know. Yeah. All right, let's get going. Welcome to episode 107 of the Metafilter Best of the Web podcast. This is covering June the 1st through, what is today?
June the 30th.
Oh, no, I should say July the 1st through July the
God damn it, you tricked me.
I screwed it up. Yeah.
Only if you want to be correct.
Causing trouble. And yes, we're covering all this last month. I am Josh Millard, a.k.a. Cortex.
I'm Jessamine.
And we're
our guest.
No planning.
You didn't plan this at all. You didn't even plan that sentence.
Well, we only got around to planning out how to do that, like, you know, two episodes ago. And with us today is special guest host, Cold Chef, GJ Charlotte, down in Louisiana.
Charlotte.
Hello there.
Charlotte? Is it Charlotte?
Charlotte.
I've been saying Charlotte so long, it's because we never, like, say names to each other. It's always written down.
Yep.
But it is pronounced Mephi. Yes, GJ. GJ Kolchev is joining us today. Matt is busy slacking it up at Slack. So we're mixing it up and having everybody's favorite Undertaker come on the show and just sort of hang out and talk to us about Metafilter the way we always like to do. How are you doing, GJ?
I'm doing well. I've been practicing to fill Matt's shoes. I'm just going to say over and over again, what?
You got to complain about Skype for about 2 minutes now.
Yes, I'm using Skype for only the second time of my entire life. So
this is very exciting. And you did warn me going in. You are an Undertaker. You are on call. It's possible at any moment someone could turn up dead, and you'll have to leap into action, put on your gray tights and cape and cowl and sleep. You know, wander off into the night there.
That's correct. If at any moment you hear me say "uh-oh," that means I've got a death call. So
yeah. But we'll hope we can hold on to you for the whole time.
You must have like a whole way, right? Like a whole mannerly way where you're like doing a thing and you look at your phone and then you're like, yeah, I got to take this. And then, I mean, because people must know, right? That like you're on a death call, but you don't say like I'm on a death call. But do you have like a lie that you say special for strangers?
It just depends. I don't have like a special number for a death call. I have an answering service. And so when they call, I mean, depending on the time of day, you kind of know what it is. But there are people who will call in the middle of the night with just random questions that are not like immediate.
Like you're just an advice nurse. They're just
like,
hey, I was just wondering.
Yeah, in the middle of the night. And so you answer them as politely as possible. And I think some people think that you're up all hours because you have an up all hours kind of job. So.
Yeah. Well, if you could be, then you must be, obviously. That's the way it works when you're on call. You literally never sleep. You're just awake 24 hours a day.
I have developed the great skill. I developed it when I was in high school of being able to wake from a completely sound sleep and sound exactly like I've been up for hours.
I can pretty much do that, actually. I mean, you must have the same thing, right? You can even just lie like, oh, GJ, did I wake you? Oh, no, I was...
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I was up doing a thing. I've also got the contrasting skill of being able to act like I just woke up when the phone's ringing and it's not someone I want to talk to. Did I wake you up? Oh yeah. Like my father's house, right? And this is kind of a dead person story. Like I'm at my father's house. We have a telephone here. It's my father's telephone number, but we keep it because the alarm's connected to it and what the hell, why not, right? But the only people that call are like scam artists, right? because that number doesn't link to a living human being and hasn't for 4 years.
Right.
And so anytime it rings, it's never anybody. But I pick it up anyhow because sometimes I'm bored and maybe a little lonely. But I'll always be like, huh? And they'll be like, Mr. West, your computer, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I don't have a computer. Who is this? And it's like those crazy scam people who are trying to tell you that you have a virus, only when you tell them you don't have a computer, they actually don't have part of the script that handles that.
Yeah.
They just hang up.
Yeah, there's like, well, you know, and at that point, it's like, they might as well get out anyway, because they're probably not going to get any farther with it. But, yeah, yeah.
When I used to work at a hotel, we used to play this game where we would see who could get the telemarketer to hang up on them. And so we would always tell them that we had to speak to a supervisor, but I will be right back in just a moment. And you put them on hold, and then you'd pick up like a, you know, 4 minutes, then 8 minutes, then 12.
That was like a Mad Magazine joke that I remember from being a kid. Like, how long can you leave the telephone just in the oven before people just hang up, and then like testing the different people and how long they stay?
Why the oven? Just to have somewhere to stick it?
I think it was a funny cartoon. You know, I don't know.
I was getting service on my home cable the other day, and I was trying to rush around because I had the call service person on the line, and she's trying to walk me through how to fix my cable. And I said, okay, let me hurry up. I'm going to hurry up and go grab like a screwdriver. And she goes, sir, I'm here for the next 8 hours, and I'm perfectly fine talking to you for the next 8 hours. And I was like, oh, great.
So right, it was a nice, you're the nicest call. Person I've talked to all day, so.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the number 107 real brief,
because yes.
At some point we do need to pivot into talking about Metafilter. And
yes,
this
enough with these
good,
pleasantries. Yes, that's
might be a
business.
Good way to. I mean, I could talk to you gentlemen all night, but in the interest of keeping things tight, 107, smallest positive integer requiring 6 syllables in English, if you don't count the and.
Wait, if you don't. 100.
Oh, without the and, it only has 5.
It's 5, yeah.
107.
Yeah, but either
so
way.
That's good trivia,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, that 7's always. 7's a real son of a bitch of a number in English that way. Like, it's like the one that's 2 syllables of the, like, the basic counting numbers.
Yes.
Like, it's not like there's the longer ones and the shorter ones. Everybody got this shit figured out except for 7. 7's like, oh, yes, my name's 7. Like, it even sounds like the name of someone's annoying, you know, kid from the yuppie neighborhood. You know, I think that's why some kids ended up named 7. They were like, oh, this is definitely the most pretentious of the numbers I could name a kid after.
You know, my sister just found out that one of her friends doesn't like the number 5 because he belongs to the shooting club and they dress up like cowboys. And you have to have like a cowboy name. And so he wanted to have like Buckeye be part of his cowboy name. So we were like, Buckeye Nickel or something. He's like, yeah, but I don't like the number 5. And we were like, how can you not like the number 5? But you don't like the number 7. So clearly this distaste for certain numbers is
a
thing.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think 7's a great number. I just think... name-wise, it's causing some problems that we wouldn't need to deal with if it could just, you know...
Because of its stupid syllables.
Yeah, like, you know, probably its name is actually Sven, but, you know, it wanted to, like, stand out a little bit, and so now, yeah, how many syllables are there in this counting?
Is this beer you're drinking, is this your first beer?
Yes, no, it is. It's this heat. It's this Huntsville heat.
The only other thing I have to say about 107 is it's the designation for the fair use exception in copyright law, which is big shit, so I'm mentioning it.
Is that like subsection 107 or?
17 USC 107, yes.
Nice.
Yes, and that's all I have to say about 107. There's a whole bunch of other bullshit. It's an inauspicious number. I don't even know what that means. And the number of lethal acupuncture points, I don't even think that's real. I think somebody added that to Wikipedia.
I feel like if I wanted to kill someone with a tiny needle, I'm guessing the number of different places I could do it at would, you know, depend a lot on the technique.
Right, exactly. I mean, if they're all in your eye.
Oh.
All right. Let's move on.
All right. Well, let's talk about...
I have a 107.
Oh, yes. Yeah?
Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We use that a lot in obituaries, so that's why I know it.
Is that the whole thing? Psalms are short, right?
Yeah, no, it's a long psalm. It goes on.
Oh,
and on.
That's not all of it.
Part. Yeah, you obituaries you pay by the line, so you try to keep it as concise as possible.
So you just refer to it, and then people kind of know how the rest of it goes.
Yeah, it's like God's greatest hits.
Now that's just what I call.
You give the tagline. You give the punchline. Everybody knows the joke. So,
well, should we talk about Jobs real quick?
I'm reading Psalm 107 while you're doing that. He turned the rivers into a wilderness. What? It's confusing.
It's the Bible, you know. It's very textural.
All iniquity shall stop her mouth. What? All right. Jobs.
I will say I actually don't have anything that's jumping out at me at Jobs this month, but there's several jobs in the New York, New Jersey area. And there's also an HR administrator job available.
Wow, and
in Australia.
Alligator Man, how to drive a stick shift, which I think would be amazing.
True, that is pretty good.
Have you ever taught somebody to drive? You learned relatively recently, right?
Yeah.
What about you, GJ? Did you learn to drive on a tractor like lots of people in the South, or?
No, we would drive our P-Rows in the swamp. So
I didn't even understand that sentence. Say it again.
No, a P-Row is a flat bottom canoe that you use in the swamp. No, I.
Oh, swamp.
Yeah,
all right.
I never learned how to drive a stick. It's my ultimate shame.
Are you serious? I'm going to teach you how to drive stick sometime then. Next time you come up to New York City, you'll have to come all the way out to Massachusetts or Vermont, and we'll teach you.
A girlfriend tried to teach me once, and I just about ruined her car. So, yeah.
Well, we'll start with a really bad car.
There you go.
That seems like
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah, stick is worthwhile.
I probably will never, because it's never even been an issue, because by the time we bought a car a couple of years ago, you know, automatics are so ubiquitous at this point that, you know, I'm
unless
sure.
Unless you want to go to Europe.
Well, sure. And yeah. I guess that's a thing. And then I can ruin
Europe
a car in
is
Europe.
A thing. Yes.
Is Europe a thing? Is Europe really a thing? I feel like the jury's still out. Maybe it's all just a long practical joke. But yes. So projects.
Yeah.
Projects. Let's talk about projects this month.
We should maybe have GJ pick one that he likes, because as Josh and I were talking before the podcast, many of the top-rated projects belong to us.
It's been a
productive
month.
And I don't know
month.
About you, but I'm feeling a little full of myself this month, so somebody else maybe should talk about maybe some other stuff.
Well, I'll give a quick shout-out to a one that is not mine, that is a friend of mine's, Churl, a.k.a. Scumbly, a.k.a. Jesse Holden, my co-host on the Crapshoot that you were on, Jessamyn.
I was on the Crapshoot.
He and his friend Aaron just put out Monkey Pop, a game they've been working on for a while. It started as a game jam thing. It's a little two-player game where you're each controlling a monkey, and if you find a remote control, you can take control of the other monkey briefly and try and throw them into, like, a deadly trap or something. It's a cute little game, and it's fun, and they finally put it out, and I'm happy. So people should go play Monkey Pop.
That's great. Shared keyboard? That sounds like a recipe for divorce
there. Yeah. You get some real punches on the shoulder and shit from that sort of move. It's like tilting a pinball machine, except for the other person is a pinball machine. It's a recipe for success.
Saint Sorry Ass. So Saint Sorry Ass is Aaron. All right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
How about you?
I'm always excited to see a new project by the Welk. He and I have actually met several times in real life. Down in New Orleans and up in New York. He took me to get a really expensive haircut when I was in New York. He's a fun guy to show you around the city.
He seems like a real mensch.
He is, and he's doing a lot more writing and projects and performing. And he did a piece recently called I'm Getting Really Tired of Living in This Quaint English Village. That's really funny.
It's a Sedaris-level funny essay. It's very good.
It really is, and his performance adds a lot to it.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch that. It's weird. I see all the – I've talked to Jessamyn about this, but I see all the projects when they come through now since I took over, you know, operations and such. And so, like, I'm no longer surprised that anything exists, and instead I'm perennially thinking, oh, shit, I was going to go back and actually look at that thing for, like, 10 things every month. So it's a weird switcheroo. But yes, that's on that list of things, because yeah, it sounded like a fun watch.
Yes, very, very, very funny.
And I also enjoyed the Good Bloods essay about the secret language of Brazilian trans women, because it's on Medium, which I sometimes like, and Matter, which is sort of linked to the people that I write for. But it's an illustrated essay, and it just looks really cool. Like, one of my favorite things to read on Medium in general is The Nib, which is all illustrated, you know, like short-form comics kind of stuff. But this is sort of a longer illustrated thing by a user who's been a user for a while, but mostly has been interacting in Ask Metafilter, and I learned some stuff, and it talks a little bit about Portuguese folks as well, which is slightly relevant to, I'm in this sort of semi-Portuguese part of Massachusetts right now, so I just really...
Oh, really?
Yeah, down in, like, Westport isn't, but, like, Fall River and New Bedford, very Portuguese.
Huh, I did not know that.
And, yeah, and so, terrific food, totally different culture, really interesting, and especially relative to, like, the rest of Massachusetts, like, it's a completely different situation. So I thought it was cool, very interesting, very well done essay, and it was neat to see it in projects.
Yeah, and those illustrations are great. I like the whole, there is this great sort of, like, three quarters top down.
They've got super funny angles, but they look really, really cool.
There was I'm all out of sorts. Yes, the knock knock jokes. I ended up making an actual Metafilter post for.
Is
once.
That Ignick knock knock?
Yep, Ignick knock.
I think we mention him every month. Maybe we should also talk to him at some point.
Maybe so. That might be a good thing to do.
He's a very nice guy.
Have you met him in person or?
Oh yeah. Okay. He's won the Boston Me fight, so he's been to my home.
You know, I think I have met him as well. I'm putting it together now. But yeah, yes, he made a. I'm laughing at the thing that this is why I ended up posting it. He made a knock knock joke Twitter bot called autocomplete joke that does knock knock jokes by saying knock knock, who's there, picking a word, that word who, and then that word whatever Google autocompletes. So like,
oh god,
knock, knock.
Really?
Yes.
Wait a second, I gotta try this right now.
It's like knock knock, who's there, D-Day who,
D-Day invasion. Who's there? Donkeys. Donkeys who? Donkeys place. Biceps workout. Wait a second. So how does this work? You send it a thing or it just does
I think it picks a word. I'm not sure how it picks the first word exactly. He may just sort of do a random word selection or something. But then it does whatever the first Google autocomplete it comes across, I guess, is. And that's how it comes up with the jokes. And so they're terrible. You know, they're the dumbest jokes. It's a robot that understands the structure of a knock-knock joke, but understands nothing about
attractions.
Humor.
Attractions who? Attractions near Hershey Park. I love it.
So I loved that. And that turned up... there were a couple things in the Metafilter thread. Other related joke bot stuff came up as well, I think. It was just super charming. Once again, you know, brilliant minimalist work.
Oh, you go to Wordnik to get a random word.
Oh, yeah.
Undocumented Google autocomplete API. I had no idea. I didn't know.
It's a secret. It's undocumented.
What? See, that's the Matt thing. What?
Yeah, you gotta jump in with those, GJ. Come on, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Get your what on. Here's another one that I liked I can't not like it sort of way.
Colonoscopy save lives. Oh, God, this is so good. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
is that the answer to the joke?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Colonoscopy who?
Or people make them up. It's impossible to know. Sorry. I'm sorry.
So Sue T. Anvil made a little game called Exobike.
Suet Anvil.
Suet. Oh, like Suet. Yeah, okay. That makes more. I was having trouble parsing it. Suet Anvil.
We've talked about Suet Anvil before.
I have no memory, it turns out. I just have no ability to retain username discussions.
You're not even the pot smoker.
I'm not going to point out that you are actually named in the post. I'm not going to point that out.
Well, I was going to get around to that. It's charming. It's also, it just happens to be something that I started with a Twitter conversation because they were like, hey, I'm trying to work on some JavaScript. What should I program? And I was like, you should make a Excite Bike ASCII game, like the old Nintendo game Excite Bike. And they did. They made it, which is great. It's so much better looking than what I was imagining. So I'm super charmed by that. And so just it's a nice little game. you know? And I don't know. I'm very much on a little game kick and a little game making kick. I'll talk more about that, I'm sure.
Of course you will.
But yeah, so it's great. And I'm so glad they did it, because that's the thing. Like, it was fun just as a tweet conversation that could have come to nothing, but then boom, a while later, this thing actually shows up, and that's just fantastic. And it fills me with a sense of power that, like, I can say, do a thing on Twitter, and then it happens. You know, it's very...
That is kind of good, right?
Yeah. It's very, you know, you've energizing, got a very aggrandizing.
Great responsibility, though.
Yep. I better not tell anybody to do anything bad.
Right.
You're just like Spider-Man.
Yep.
Exactly like Spider-Man. Yep.
In as much as I got my uncle killed one time because I was feeling petty. you got any others you like, GJ?
No, that's it for me.
How about you, Jess? You good?
Just mine and yours.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to do mine, I'll do yours?
Yeah.
All right.
You did another one of these blobbity blah random words that turn into some comic somehow, which apparently is a lot of work to turn out something that kind of looks like you did it by hand in 15 minutes. But Calvin and Markov does make, you know, semi-coherent narratives out of Calvin and Hobbes threads to do a thing. And they're adorable. And I've seen the ones that you're posting. Apparently it took lots of work and you're doing more work. But yes. What's fun about them, especially, is they have permalinks. So if you find a one that you like, you can have a link and you can sort of send it around, which is adorable.
I've seen a bunch of them on Milkshake. I was wondering where they were coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. Milkshake has become one of my sort of like, hey, I'm working on a thing, little chatter grounds, which is, I feel like I'm sort of using it off label because like people are mostly posting, you know, images found out on the web, but it's like I don't tend to find stuff very quickly, but I make stuff, so I might as well toss it up on there.
You're a content creator. That's important. Where, you know, I'm just a content finder.
Well, you create content, too.
Sometimes.
For example, you created Library of Congress today, or Librarian of Progress, I guess.
Oh, for God's sakes, just read the URL.
I was scrolled down. I was like, I don't remember that, but I guess that's what it says. Librarian of Progress is...
It's a play on words.
Yes,
pro-con.
Exactly. It's a pun, if you will. And if you won't, then tough. It's a pun. It's totally a pun. It's unquestionably a pun.
Pun-like.
It's not necessarily an aggressive pun, but it's definitely a pun.
Punish.
Yes, you put together this page on the opening in the Library of Congress because
it's quite possibly the most important library job that is going to become open in my lifetime, and everyone's sitting on their thumbs being like, "Oh, I hope they pick someone good." And it's like, you know, we can actually have a conversation about who they should pick and why that, like, informs the people who are doing the hiring why certain parts of this job are very important, like the copyright part, like the DMCA exception part, like, you know, getting rid of the backlog and open access and all the other stuff. So, yeah, it's been my little hobby horse, and this is one part of that.
Well, and it's awesome. I mean, you put together a really nice little site for it. And
you know, it's just one of those turnkey templates. I just typed words into it. It was super simple.
That
I
works.
Can't design anything. Yeah, I know, right?
Well, you got little icons, too.
I copied them.
Well, yeah, but you chose which ones to copy. So that's
you know what a dumbass I feel like I'm being when I'm like, what tiny icon represents change management? And then I look in the window and I'm like, I hate myself. It's like when you're in the office and you're trying to figure out exactly what color of like idiot copy paper is perfect for your little handout on whatever the thing is. You know, does Goldenrod really say Microsoft Word basics? You know, there's only so many options.
Yeah. Well, you do what you can.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that looks like it's either a drawer or like a file box, and I can't tell
which. I think it's a file box.
That was kind of my main thought was, yeah, because that definitely defines change management to me is, oh, shit, everything's just in those boxes in the back room. So, you know, it seems like a good choice. I think you nailed it. I think
yeah. Well, you know, special shout out to whoever the people are that do those little icons. Let me see if I can figure it. It's the FF, they're called something. They have a name. And there's a whole page of like these icons, you can use them, they are free, they are great. So yeah, it was awesome. So yay projects, it's great to see people creating all the stuff they're creating.
Keep doing stuff, people.
here's a question or maybe a comment. Both of you are content creators. Have you ever come up with something that's kind of awful?
You're going to have to narrow that down a little bit.
Like,
yes.
Like, I don't know, just like a really terrible, like, pun or word joke or current event thing just occurs to you. And so you make like a little picture or a thing about it, but then you don't want to take credit for it. So you just put it out on the internet and you say, oh, look what I just found.
No, I've never, I have decided not to hit post on things before, but
I've done that maybe once or twice in my entire internet history, but generally no, although it's tempting, but I have nothing to lose, right? So like having stuff attached to my name doesn't actually, I've occasionally made bitchy tweets from a different Twitter account that I used to have a while ago that I don't think I have anymore.
I don't do terrible things like that either.
Yeah.
As far
this
as
one of those things where, like, you ask your friends about playing doctor, and they tell you all their playing doctor stories, and you're like, "Oh, I've never done it."
Yeah. No.
Are there any particularly good things you never would have done something like that with that come to mind?
I would have never taken really horrible current events and turned them into Valentine's Day cards and sent them out to people and said, "Look at this horrible thing I just found."
See, I
like that idea.
I like the idea, but I would start a Tumblr blog, and you know, I would be like, yeah, let's make this a project. Let's make this a thing. This will be.
I should mention so horrible that I would cringe as I made them.
DJ, so, I can't even imagine what that might even be like.
This is probably a best conversation to have offline.
Sure. Well, we can always edit this out in post, but sometimes you say you're going to do that, and Josh doesn't. So.
Yeah, well, it's you know, keep us on our toes collectively. But I will spend some time like workshopping a tweet. I'll spend like 5 minutes working on it and then sort of say, you know what, this is just this isn't good enough to justify the fact that I know this is totally a shitty direction to go in, and so it's just I just dustbin it, leave it at that, and try not to think about it. But I'll keep the subterfuge in mind if I ever come across like the perfect storm of like.
Well, we'll send it to GJ now, and then he can just.
Exactly, I should just do that more.
And that's I would do that for someone. You, GJ. If you need someone to put a thing on the internet that gives you enough distance for plausible deniability, and that if someone did get blamed, it would be me. I would take the heat for that.
Absolutely, I appreciate that. Now, so having said that, don't start posting awful things and then saying that a certain Undertaker sent these to me, but I'm not saying who.
I can't even think that way. You know, I did drive by my local funeral home today and thought I should just go say hi to the Potter Funeral Home people because they were so nice back in the day.
Yeah, Justin, I don't know. Your sister and I actually text each other quite a bit now.
She says she doesn't send you topless selfies. That's what she said.
Well,
you tell me
that's not what she's supposed to say.
No, she's awesome. You guys should be friends. You have a slightly even more similar sensibility than you and I do, if that is possible.
She's lovely and always up for a good joke. So,
well, we went to the cemetery. Josh, you said that. We basically sent two pictures from the cemetery. One to GJ, that was me and Kate giving him the finger by the gravestone that said butts. And then one to Josh that had the Millard gravestone that was across the street from the Butts gravestone, and I you know, send you that one. No
like
fingers.
It feels like a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love cemeteries. I've grown up in them, and so there's all kind of games I play in cemeteries, especially when I'm standing out there just kind of bored. My favorite game to play is one I call Poison Birthday Cake, which is where you try to find somebody who died on the same day that they were born, but in like a different year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's one cemetery in Mississippi that I go to that has six people that all died on their own birthday.
Good Lord.
Which is
enough. What is going on there?
Poison birthday cake.
Okay.
This town must have a really crappy baker, and I don't know. I have no idea. I also like to look for people who died either died or were born like on a holiday, like on Christmas, And then you try to imagine, like, you know, how much their family resented them for that.
I look for the people that die, like, 3 days before their birthday, and then I feel sad.
Yeah, those are the quitters. Quitters never win.
So you follow through, people. You know, just make an effort. You were so close.
The two of you are terrible.
Yeah,
one that's fun is where you find, a husband and wife who died on the exact same day, and then you kind of create the narrative in your head that, you know, they were in a car wreck, or the house burned down, or the boat sank, or something like that.
Fully outdo.
My job is so much.
Murderers.
So you work in and live and operate in Louisiana, but I presume you have, you know, ever left the state. Do you have? It sounds like.
Where are you even going with this?
I don't. It just sounded terrible as I said it somehow. So, like, New England cemeteries are so weird. As someone who grew up, you know, in Portland, where cemeteries are just, like, really, I don't know. I don't think there's anything remarkable about a Portland cemetery in most cases.
What's
it's
remarkable
just
about a New England cemetery?
Some of them are really, really old. They've got some old fucking cemeteries there in New England. Depending on which cemetery you go to, you can see what the current style of headstone that everybody had was. And there's, like, death's heads, and then they turned into, like, angels. And there's this whole weird evolution of headstone cutting back in, like, the 17th and 18th century.
That is true. Also, I assume they have some of that down in Louisiana, too.
Yeah, the saltwater air will also kind of degrade them pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah?
What you also see a lot in the South is homemade gravestones, people who make their own tributes and things that aren't meant to last hundreds of years. They're supposed to, you know, they're designed and built and meant to last for, you know, 50 or 60 years, as long as, you know, the people who made them are still alive and they don't worry that far into the future.
Yeah, which is fair. You know, I mean, if someone 200 years later comes across your gravestone and says, man, this is really poorly maintained, like, You're not really going to worry about it. No one who cared about it has been alive for 100 years by the time that person's beefing.
Well, I'll tell you one really creepy aspect of Louisiana cemeteries, especially down in New Orleans, is so many people died during Hurricane Katrina that when you walk through the cemeteries, you'll see the same date coming up. August 29th, 2005. Over and over and over and over and over again.
Do cemeteries, like, sort of try and dither around burials across their areas? Or do they, if they've got 20 burials, like, in a week, are they just going to, like, okay, these 20 slots right here,
people bam, have bam, plots. Bam, bam,
bam? Oh, that's right. I guess there is. I guess if you buy a plot ahead of time.
People have plots. So here's what's interesting. In New Orleans, they have crypts it's basically... Imagine a big, deep hole, and then they build this marble building over it. And when it comes time for the burial, they put wooden dowels over the hole. They roll the casket in, and so the casket, a wooden casket always, is supported by the weight of the dowels. And then when the dowels rot, the casket falls down into the hole.
No way! And it makes, like, a crazy, scary noise in the middle of the night?
Middle of the night, or a lot of times when you're walking around the cemetery, you'll hear a big
damn whoop. It! I did it's not know that. Terrifying.
Why do they do this way?
Because you can bury multiple generations within the same hole.
I get that, but just letting them drop, that seems weird.
So it's just like at any moment you'll join the pile of previous rotted bodies and caskets from previous generations in the hole your family has.
I think most likely the idea is that it'll happen when no one's around. And granted, I spend a lot more time in cemeteries than most people do, so I've heard it more than most people will.
Yeah.
But there's a rule that if two people in the same family die during the same calendar year, the body that's in the crypt stays in there for a year and a day. And after a year and a day, if the body hasn't fallen down into the hole, this sounds off, they dump them out. They dump them into the hole, and then the next body goes in. So if you die, like, if someone dies in January, and then the next person dies in July, that person goes into a mausoleum to wait for the year and the day to go into the hole.
They don't just put them in the hole and then put the other person on top of them? You have to fall into the hole?
Correct. Correct.
Wow!
Yep.
GJ, I learn so much every time I talk to you. We should probably talk about Metafiltrozoa.
I guess.
Because I could talk about, you know, cemeteries pretty much forever, but yeah.
Well, I will tell you most of the most of my favorites from the past month are death and cemetery related. So.
Excellent. Perfect.
Super thematic.
Perfect.
Well, let's talk about stuff you liked. Let's get into it.
Metafilter or Ask Metafilter? I can never remember which you do first.
Well, let's do Metafilter first. We'll do the blue.
One of the ones that I liked was... let me see if I can copy this for you. Amber Carvalho and Caitlin Dowie on disrupting the home or disrupting the funeral home business. It was a post about.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was a post about how it's the woman who wrote the book about modern cemetery practices called "Smoke Gets in Your Eyes."
Oh, I read her book, and, you know, I actually swapped a couple emails with her. She sounds like a top-notch human being.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. She's pretty cool. She and I differ on a few things. But she does great work. And so they're making a big push for home funerals and without all the traditional funeral business. And so, luckily, the thread did not turn into a bunch of talk about Viking funerals. I think Jessamyn and I have talked about that before. Anytime you have a thread that's about funerals, what it usually turns into is a bunch of people talking about, well, when I die, I want this ridiculous thing.
Blar, 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 Vikings.
I want to be stuffed. I want my ashes stuffed into the urethra of Gwar's giant stage penis and scattered all. Yeah.
Exactly.
What?
And
seriously?
I have no idea. I don't know. Suddenly that came back to me, that old thread about the story about being at a Gwar show, but it was actually a 90s night, or the other way around, rather, and I don't know.
I think that was a fever dream you had.
Yeah. Well, either I'll track it down and prove it, or that was weird.
No, we're done. We're done.
Yes, but yes, Viking funerals
and
such. You
said giant stage penis, and we're done.
You know, Gwar. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes!
Okay, just... I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like a literally invented penis. No, I'm referencing. I'm mentioning cultural history.
This is the worst.
Gwar.
Yeah, so it's one of those threads that could have really turned like really negative and ugly really quickly, but it actually didn't, and it kind of got to a couple of the things about why we have funerals and why, in a lot of cases, we turn them over to a professional and try instead of trying to do it ourselves. And what I liked about it is there was a good difference of opinion about it, and everybody kind of respected each other's opinion about it. So that was one that I liked.
Do you find you have many opportunities to have detailed, like, funeral director, undertaker discussions? Like, do you get a chance to mix professionally much as far as that goes? Are there, like, you know, funeral director chat rooms?
You mean with other funeral directors? Tell them about the conference, GJ.
There are funeral director conventions. They're as bad as any other conventions.
He sends me swag from them sometimes.
Yeah.
I got toe tags from GJ when he went to one of those.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. The showroom floors are really great because it's got, you know, the
lip balm.
The regular booth babes that you see at anything else, except they're hawking like embalming fluid and cavity plugs and that sort of thing.
Are they in like bikinis and similar such things, or do they dress like, are they morning dress booth
they're
babes?
Usually very well dressed, but cannot go too deeply into questions about the products.
Oh, sure.
As with all booth people, unfortunately.
And what's really great is you get to see all this stuff it's really fantastic, but I would never personally order. So, like, there was a cremation urn with a Star Trek insignia on it, and it says boldly go across the front of it. And as fantastic as that is, I would never sell one. No one would ever
buy
that.
Just stay on your shelf forever, and people would, yeah.
Yeah,
you,
exactly.
In fact, you said on Twitter this week that you had to buy some sample merchandise. Is that true, or are you just like pulling everybody's leg?
No, it is. Without going too deep into it,
we keep 6 feet.
We keep.
I hate you.
Yeah, sorry. Please continue.
We keep cremation urns for folks to buy. And my dad used to have this terrible habit about just buying whatever random urns some salesman would come by. And it was kind of like the fall off the truck urns. Here are 5 urns that don't match. And so we've never kind of standardized it. So I standardized it. I made a list of 8 good popular urns. And then just to show people what can be done with personalization, I actually put real names on them, mostly friends from Metafilter and Twitter. And then used their real birth dates and made up death dates for them. So Jessamine's one of them, and I'll send you a picture as soon as it comes
future
in.
Future death dates or past death dates?
I usually choose a past date.
Thank you.
And it's usually just an arbitrary date that's funny to me. So,
well, you can tell me what the arbitrary date is, and then I can tell you what it matches in my real life, and then we can all have a moment.
I can't remember what I used for yours, but it was something like when you and I went to Max Fun Con together or something like that. And I almost
Josh
killed us
too.
By driving off the road.
Yes.
So.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we went off-roading in our rental vehicle. I went down the side of a hill.
I forgot about that.
You got to look out for those hills.
You screamed at me for like half an hour.
What?
You screamed at me like for half an hour.
I've got like PTSD. I don't remember that at all.
We
Are
terrified
you sure that was me?
It was. We terrified the young lady who was riding in the back seat.
Abby?
Maybe.
The gal we gave a ride to. Yeah. She's got a child who's a grown-up or growing up now. Very exciting. I see her asking questions on Ask Metafilter about her child. She hadn't even met her fella yet at that point.
Time passes.
I'm sorry I missed that car ride. That sounds like fun. You know, I mean, terrifying fun, but still.
Yeah, how did you get there?
I got a ride with Greg Noss, actually. Gave me and Matt and PB a ride from the airport. And
That must have been a fun, quiet ride.
It was nice, and Greg's a super nice guy. Have you met him?
He's the best person in the world. Yeah,
he's fantastic. So we had a nice ride, but I remember on that car ride we were whining through the mountains on the way up to, you know, the thing, and so there was basically no internet connection. Right when someone's crazy out of control, like a scraper bot was like taking down the site, so we're trying to frantically resolve a bot problem with administrative tools from laptops in the back of a car on a windy mountain road with no internet access. And it was apparently it was memorable, because that was six, 7 years ago now, and that's one of the things I most remember from Max FunCon, is trying to deal with a site problem when there was no internet on a mountain road.
It was a great idea for all the mods to be there in one weekend at a mountain resort with no connection to the internet. That was a great idea.
That was real solid, like 2008 era planning. Like we've got enough mods to be able to cover the site a little bit. Let's all be distracted at the same time.
Let's all go away.
People think I'm joking when I tell them about how in 2001, when Matt took a trip to Australia, he just turned off the website for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Like, people don't believe that actually happened, or that was something.
Well, it sounds so crazy, and, you know, that really is a difference of era.
Well, that
like,
was
you know,
also when Matt had a job.
Yeah.
So the site making money and having uptime didn't actually matter as much.
Yeah. Like if we actually turned the site off, well, I mean, he went read-only with it is what he did, if I remember right. So, like, you just couldn't.
No, it was gone.
Oh, he actually took it down? Gone. Oh, I forgot about that. That's crazy.
It was missing for 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, there's no way we could do that today. It'd be so. People would have panic attacks. It would be bad for revenue, obviously, if we couldn't serve, like,
you'd get
ads.
Letters.
Yes, angry letters.
You know, I feel like I should probably mention, since it is the podcast of the month, that the site did turn however old it turned.
Yes.
14? God, I'm the
16,
worst.
16, sweet 16.
Woo!
There were no big parties, but there was the traditional CAT scan thread. Which was, as always, a good time. And there were a few meetups in the vicinity. I was at meetups near its birthday, and I think I Cheers to its birthday.
You know, for the first time, I met Metafilter's own Lobster Mitten and had
yes.
Dinner. Oh.
Yes. That's so exciting.
Not only have we never met, I have only seen one photograph of her in a raincoat. And I, so like, you know, I was all set to meet her and her husband at a local establishment near my sister's place, because they were driving from where they lived to where their family was and blah. And I was like, I've actually only seen like a picture of her in a raincoat. You know, I wasn't totally sure I would recognize her, but we had dinner and it turns out she's as great as you think she would be.
I would imagine so. Yeah. No, she's super great. And she's, yeah, I think she's like the least sort of out there all over the internet person on staff, which is like totally reasonable. It's just kind of funny that like, I think you and me and Matt in particular have always been so like, I'm going to make a fart joke on Twitter. Well, that's me specifically, but still.
I was
going
to say hello.
Maybe, I mean, you're very open and you've got
I'm out on the internet,
your name
yeah.
on stuff. Matt's obviously. So yeah. But yeah, no, that's I'm so happy you guys
and
got
you haven't
together.
Met her, right?
I haven't, you know, and
make an effort. It's worth it.
I'll figure it out at some point. Trip. Yeah. Well, you know, and you know, I've got family out in like the Boston area. So
yeah,
Maryland's not
there.
Right there, but it's enough to make it a quick hop or something.
Well, and she's got family in Maine, so all you have to do is catch her when she's going just, back and forth.
Just interrupt her mid-road trip.
Well, that's what I did. She stopped and had dinner, like got off the highway and had yeah. dinner right near where my sister was. It was great. Totally worth it. Yeah. Everyone should meet Lobster Mitten.
Well, I'm gonna mention like the big one.
What big one? What?
The big Metafilter
post.
There
was a big one?
There was. There was a big Metafilter post a couple weeks
oh!
ago now.
This has changed my relationship overnight.
This is the Where's My Cut on Unpaid Emotional Labor article by Jess Zimmerman, where she wrote basically about, you know, the nature of emotional labor and...
Can you explain briefly what emotional labor is?
Things that involve making sort of like a emotional or mental support effort, things that are sort of part of the often unspoken, often somewhat unnegotiated aspect of just making things work on a day-to-day basis, and things that, this is sort of the point of the article to some extent, there's often a very poor distribution of this in relationships and often a very gender distribution where structurally, societally, we've set things up in such a way that a lot of the stuff is just a woman's job. You know, in a relationship, it's going to be, you know, traditionally the wife's job, to just do the stuff, and it's not
to like
stuff.
Keep up with the birthdays, for
yeah,
example.
Yeah, keep
like
up
that's
with
a
the
good
birthdays.
A good example. So you know, like I would be more likely to know it was Jim's parents' anniversary than Jim actually would,
right?
Even though that's bizarre because he's related to them, but yeah,
yeah, or yeah. I'm having suddenly such a terrible time sort of summing it up. But the thing is, I don't need to sum it up too much because there's a gigantic, gigantic thread on Metafilter, and the whole thing is worth reading, which is tricky because it's like 1,600 comments long now. It's kept going for like 2 weeks, and it is just full of a bunch of really good, interesting, sometimes you know, kind of sad or depressing or at least a little bit, you know, ground-shaking revelations and thoughts people are having, reflecting on this and talking to each other about it. And what someone pointed out at some point in the thread, this is, you know, to some extent, what would have been, you know, called a consciousness-raising exercise, you know, decades ago when it was maybe, you know, coming around previously as an idea of something where you recognize some of these things and sort of develop a better understanding of some of this stuff that, you know, I mean, this is not strictly feminism, but there's definitely a strong overlap
it is feminism.
With, you know, a whole
yes,
lot
it
of feminism.
Yes, it's feminism. Yep.
Jessamyn, you said that it changed your relationship. How?
Yeah, well, it's funny because, I mean, Jim and I, in a lot of ways, don't really have a boy-girl relationship. You know, like, I'm the one with the tools and he's the one that primps in the bathroom all day long. But in a lot of ways, I'm definitely the one who kind of has to check in with all the kind of structural stuff about our relationship. Like, you know, when are we going to meet and what are you going to bring? And I got a message from so-and-so and we got to do this thing. And it's not a big deal. Like, I'm kind of up for it most of the time. But when both of us are exhausted, kind of me doing that extra work, it makes me irritable. But I was having a hard time putting that into words. I was just kind of, you know, doing that. I throw up my hands and be like, I have to do everything around here, which of course isn't true. And pointing to these threads, especially the one in Ask Metafilter, the emotional labor checklist, I was like, you know, because Jim always felt like he was doing his part, right? You know, like I would cook and he would do the dishes. Like that's half. And I was like, yeah, but I'll cook, you do the dishes, and then I have to make sure you clean the kitchen right because you mostly do some of the dishes but not all the dishes. And so ultimately the dish doing process is my responsibility even if you do part of it. But we had a really nice conversation about it and continue to. But like for some reason that hook, the like emotional labor aspect where you can kind of point to it and be like, I'm not saying you're not doing your job. I'm just saying there's an extra invisible job that I'm doing that maybe isn't being taken into account when we figure out if we're both kind of doing the work. And for whatever reason, it stuck with him in a way that this hasn't before. I mean, and we're generally like pretty happy together anyhow. But like when stuff is hard, it's hard in this one direction that was really hard for me to identify. And it's also real easy to kind of point to, you know, the emotional laborer and be like, yeah, but you're just putting in the effort that nobody else requires. And being able to bring it around and being like, well, except it's kind of necessary for our relationship to function at this high level. So let's talk about it. And so since we've been talking about it literally for the last week or two, you know, he voluntarily cleaned the porch and I didn't even ask him the other day. Like, like I feel stupid even talking about it, but it's really like made noticeable changes in the way we sort of treat one another about some of these topics. And he didn't read that 1,000-page thread, you know, but it was just that concept was a helpful concept for him in understanding a thing that made it not his fault, but kind of his responsibility to understand what I was bringing to the table. And that was awesome, really just awesome and helpful for me. So,
well, yeah, and that's cool. An interesting thing about the thread. I feel like, you know, to some extent, you know, people have been tweeting about it. It's like you said, there was an Ask Me thread. There's been actually at least two, maybe three Ask Me threads that have spun off from it.
Right. There was the one big one that I saw.
But there's been a couple others, like someone saying, oh my gosh, this really made me realize some issues about my relationship.
Yeah.
You know, help, what's next for dealing with this? But yeah, it's interesting because the thread has a bunch of really, really thoughtful, interesting comments, a bunch of personal stories. And, you know, some of them are kind of like, I've just realized what's wrong with my relationship or what's wrong with my job or why this thing 10, 15 years ago had such a devastating effect on me that I've been unable to state. And so you look at some of those and they're really amazing. They're powerful, but they also feel like it feels a little bit like
a little voyeuristic, like, kind of. Well yeah.
And to some extent, the thing is, like, I feel like if you look at only certain sections of that thread, it can almost feel like this is a thread you need to read to find out how much you fucked up your relationship. And it's not that, you know. It's, I mean, there's plenty of stories that are sort of like, oh, this is why this was such a problem or is such a problem in a relationship. But there's also a lot of people just sort of saying, oh, I, like you said, I have a better way of, I can actually, like, elucidate the issue now. I can actually put
absolutely
a name to it and
absolutely
describe it, and it's good for my relationship.
Well, I mean, I can describe it in a way that doesn't point fingers, that's not like I'm doing all the work, which is like true but not true, because it explains why Jim would look at it and be like, no, you're fucking not, you know.
Yeah.
And we could both be right, except we were meaning it in a different way. And so it was super helpful, I found. I mean, we'll see, but at least it means we have kind of a little tagline being like, hey, don't forget about this. Oh,
yeah.
Right. La, 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 la.
Like, GJ, your job, I would say, you know, there is a huge amount of emotional labor just based on the things I've seen you talk about. I mean, you tweet about funny stuff. You also tweet about serious stuff. And you know, you have to deal with grieving people. You have to deal with you know, terrible stuff. Like, you know, you get a call and someone's child has died, you know. Is this something that you have had to take a real active approach to sort of managing and thinking about how you sort of, like, you know, balance your emotional well-being with the job you need to do?
Yeah, one of the first things I ever learned about this job is that a lot of what you do is not on the clock and not stuff that you're necessarily paid for. I remember after I started working here, one of the first cases was a baby, a deceased baby, and I had a really difficult time dealing with it. And I went to my uncle, who was the owner of the business at the time, and I asked him, I said, why is this so hard? I don't know this family. I don't know this child. Why is this so hard? And he said, GJ, what you have to learn how to do is you have to learn how to separate yourself from the work you're doing.
Sure.
You have to learn to be a counselor. You have to learn to be a guide. You're not trying to get them whole again. You're only trying to get them through the next 3 days.
He Help said, them find a path. Yeah.
Exactly. He said, so you can't take it personally. You can't get personally involved. You can't go home and cry about it. And if you figure out how to do that, let me know, because I've been doing it for 40 years. I haven't figured it out. Yeah. So I think it's worth saying that one of the best things about this thread were not only all the really great comments, mostly from the female members of Metafilter, but the moderating was really, really good. There were a few places where it looked like, you know, guys were going to come in and go, yeah, but that's not me, and I don't do that. And
yeah,
and not all men.
Not all men. But the moderation kept it in check, and really, I think, made it a much... It was one of those things where I felt like saying, yes, but this, and yes, but that, and all of a sudden that little thing clicked in my head that said, you know, shut up and listen and read and see what they're saying. And I'm glad I did, because... it really meant a lot. And I do tend to be one of those people who remembers birthdays and sends out cards and reaches out to friends when they're having a hard time. And after that thread, a lot of friends from Metafilter, from Twitter, reached out and just kind of said thank you to me for being that kind of person. And that really made me feel good. So,
that's nice. That's good.
Yep.
You know, it's funny, we get stuff on the contact form every once in a while from someone just out of the blue saying, hey, you know, not really apropos of anything other than, boy, it looks like it's been a crazy week, and I just want to say thanks for the stuff you do. And it's one of those things where it's like every once in a while it has this tone almost of like, oh, I hope I'm not imposing by saying appreciate. And you know, we're always like, no, thanks so much. It's nice, and it's one of those little things where, you know, it's really easy to be totally well-meaning and be not in any way in the wrong and just not always do that little bit of sort of like, oh, well, I know we both know this is true, but hey, thanks. Hey, you do a nice thing. Hey, you're a good friend. You know, I'm kind of terrible about that, like keeping up with my friends. You know, I tell myself they know that I'm just terrible about it, but I care about them. But at the same time, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, reading through, I was like, oh yeah, there are things that I tend to, you know, the things I can get away with, I'll sort of abdicate some of that stuff. I don't keep up super closely with my family, and to some extent, because there is a bunch of emotional labor involved sometimes in doing so. But at the same time, you know, maybe I do sort of go to the other end of the pendulum there and just sort of like, you know, just sort of nope out of some of the stuff that I could probably just make the phone call a little bit more often, you know, send an email more often, that sort of thing.
Well, Well, I was just going to say that's sort of part of where I got to on that. Like, I probably try and spend a half hour every day, like, literally just going through my world of social media being like, way to go! You're doing great! That was interesting! Thank you! Like, just to, for other people who I know or, you know, could use a thumbs up from somebody whose opinion they value. And part of it for me was realizing I should turn some of that sort of my family's direction as well. I mean, not that I don't like my family and interact with my family, but that I should include them in my daily romp around, hey, that thing, cool, blah, etc. Because, like, Jim and I are very good at that, and I'm actually very good at that with strangers, but I'm not that good at it with people I care about because I spend so much time perseverating about the best way to blah, 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 or I'm worried that it's going to turn into blah, blah, blah. So I've developed a lot more of kind of a fuck it attitude to...
Yeah.
Just say the thing and, like, you know, deal with it afterwards. Don't not do it because whatever. Like, you're good at it with everyone else. Why can't you get better at that? Like, you know, like having people visit and, like, being like, I'm glad you came. Like, yeah. I would want someone to say that to me. It feels weird to say because it sounds presumptuous and stupid, but it doesn't feel weird to other people to hear for the most part, so fucking say it. Stop.
Yeah, get outside of your own head and just, like, do that little thing. You know, it's like, yeah, I have trouble with that, so.
Were you saying a thing, GJ, before I started?
Yeah, I was saying, Jessamine actually knows that I've started a new project where I like getting and I like sending letters in the actual mail. And I probably actually like sending letters and postcards more than I actually like getting them. I get this weird endorphin rush when I mail a bunch of letters at once, and then I spend the whole next day just thinking about my letters, just traveling across the country.
I feel you right there. Bag. I feel you.
And so I've started a project where some Metafilter friends and I are now like writing each other letters back and forth. I probably have the largest collection of members' real names and mailing addresses. I would put mine up against
I bet. Except for maybe the Music Swap people.
Maybe so. But a new thing that I've started doing is in the past where, you know, you would send somebody a text message, you know, hey, good job on that thing you did. Now I just drop them a postcard or a letter. And so, you know, there's something fun about writing a 3-sentence letter and dropping it in the mail 5 minutes later.
My dad used to travel a lot, and he would send postcards that were basically like, hey, I had this funny sandwich. It looked like this. And it didn't say anything. Like, it wasn't like, here's a story about my day. It was just like 1 or 2 sentences. I was thinking about you. Bam, in the mail. But I have a ton of them, and I love having them because they really were just kind of slice of life, not like, oh, I got to write the perfect postcard, you know? And yeah, especially if you're sending more than one, just send them and get them out. People like getting them.
I think that's the thing that helps us, like, you know each other better is, you know, not something that you spend all this time perfectly crafting, but, you know, just a little slice of life, as you said, and just a little something out of your day, just to know that somebody was thinking about you. It's good.
Was this the month that I sent you the herpes test results envelope? I think it was.
Yes, it absolutely was. I had to explain to my children what herpes was.
I am sorry about that.
No, they need to find out.
It's useful to know.
It's good information.
I think so.
And you have this, Dad? No. Well,
I have been saving that envelope since high school, GJ. I am not lying.
It made me laugh probably for 10 minutes. And then I put it on Twitter, and people absolutely loved it for the rest of the day. So thank you for that. It was really good.
It actually, I don't know if you saw it, but it says groin pull down the side of it. And that's because the guy I was super into in high school had given me his email password, which was groin pull. And I should have known them that I shouldn't have been super into him. And so it was on that envelope, and I had been saving it for the exact perfect time. And there you go.
I absolutely loved it.
I saw that fly by the other day. I didn't know what the context was originally, but I was like, I don't care. This is great. Oh, and Jessamine, you sent me baseball card patches. Well, baseball player stitched patches. Thurman Munson and Fred Lynn.
Yeah, I went to Frugal Frank's discount outlet, and they had a bag you could buy for $3 that had a stack of Fred Lynn and Thurman Munson baseball patches. And I don't know who those guys are, but Jim was like, oh my God, you should totally buy them. And I totally didn't, but I took pictures of them, and then everyone on the internet was like, oh my God, why didn't you buy them?
So
I was like, I don't know. So I went back and bought them. And then people on Facebook were like, send them to me. And I mailed them out, including to you.
They're pretty great. Thurman Munson, I think, died. Or maybe Fred Lynn did. One of them. I Googled them both and looked at their Wikipedia pages. And one of them is dead.
I figured you could sketch them for that blog you have about baseball players.
Oh, geez. I haven't updated that thing in years.
I don't know why you think you're going to start another podcast and that's going to totally work out.
Hey, well, you know, it's much shorter, you know, I have good feelings about it.
Shorter than a post on Tumblr.
Well, it's shorter than this anyway, you know, it's on the manageable side.
I mean, what isn't, honestly? My country's sick of me. I went to Germany to see the
king. Should we segue to that? Should we talk about the snail post?
Could you?
Because that's pretty great. And then I'll explain the podcast connection there too. But there was this fantastic Ask Me that turned into a fantastic, if slightly unconventional, Metafilter post because it was sort of wrapping the whole thing up. So it was a little bit more of a personal narrative than would be normal for a Post to the Blue. But I was like, you know, executify it. This thing is great. This is a post about a snail from the mid 19th century, and I won't go into detail because I can refer you to something else, but Nice Book Rack is the user who made this Ask Me post that turned into this Metafilter post about this snail from the mid-19th century that got sent to the British Museum from Egypt and got
back
glued.
You used to just collect shit in other countries and be like, whoa, yeah, it's like,
oh, this
totally
is mine now. I'll send this back to...
Collect,
you know,
is a nice way of saying steal.
What?
Yeah, you're
I
right.
Mean, in this case, it was a snail, so probably like low on the you know, theft things. But anyway, they mailed the snail back.
Stolen and it was snail.
It was assumed to be dead, the stolen snail. And so glued to a specimen card, and 4 years later they realized it's not dead. And they gave it a bath, and it woke up, and it lived for a couple more years. And there's a bunch of details of the story, but also an interesting sort of process of tracking down what happened since then, which is a big part of what the post is about. So it was a great Ask Me. It turned into a great post and a fun discussion, but... it's also the subject of a new podcast that we just launched.
We meaning you.
Me doing all the work at the moment, but Metafilter, you know, branded podcast called Out of the Blue. That's like a much shorter, like little 12-minute, you know, one well-edited narrative about one little story from something related to Metafilter. And I was like, this is the perfect thing because I was thinking about doing a first episode and it's like, but what am I going to do it about exactly? And boom, this was it.
Well, and it totally sort of captured people's imagination. Like, I saw it sort of zipping around the internet a little bit, and I was like, hey, like, that's from Ask Metafilter. Like, blah, 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 yeah. Blah. I have certain intel about this.
Yeah, no, it did sort of get a little bit of a little bit of legs under it, which was really neat.
Legs.
To see.
Legs.
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 Hey, I'm in Alabama. Everybody else talks funny.
No, that must be great, know, right?
You know, it's actually funny. Huntsville's a real sort of varied city because there's a lot of people who are in from out of town because of tech stuff in town. And so,
space.
You know, lots of people have southern accents. Not everybody does, but not everybody has, like, specifically a northern Alabama accent. You know, there's a real variety of southern accents, too. So I can't quite get used to any one particular thing, and I also won't come away with any specific informed opinion about, like, northern Alabama accents. I'll just
be
like, oh, yeah, people in the South, they talk like they're from the South. You know, it's about as much as I'm going to narrow it down. But, yeah. Anyway, the snail thing is awesome. The new podcast, I'm super happy with how the first episode came out, and going to try and do a monthly, probably come out, like, you know, the middle of the month versus these on the tail ends. And, yeah, I think it'll be a fun thing.
Cool. Here was my favorite thing from Ask Metafilter this whole month. User Blue Llama, which is kind of a funny joke in and of itself, is trying to match the colors of an old DEC PDP-11 computer. And, like, DEC, which is Digital Equipment Corporation, was kind of known for having computers. This was, I don't know, 80s when? 70s? That had these kind of pretty interesting color patterns. Like they had these purple and pink colors and these blue and green colors. Like, they had colors. They weren't just kind of green and gray and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so they were like, for this guy, for whatever reason, lady? Oh, God. Me again.
Person. This person.
No, blue. He's a dude. His name is Scott. Was like, I'm trying to match those colors because I want to paint these stripes. And so, you know, I'm all like, oh, I work at the Internet Archive. Here's some documents. And I'm always happy when I kind of try to answer a question but don't. And then somebody else shows up, like in this case, Zamboni, who's a just all-around genius, and is like, oh, by the way, here's a scan of a DEC standard, Digital Approved Paint Suppliers and Material Identification System paint document, where have, like, all the aerosol colors for the document, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we find a guy in New York City who has one of the machines, who it turns out is a Mephite, and
wow.
Shows up in the thread to say, you know, I've got one. If you want to compare some swatches, call me. Autopilot. User autopilot. So it's like everything that's great about Ask Metafilter, including I get to help other people actually answer the question. The question is hilarious, like in an epon hysterical way. It's very techie and nerdy. and everybody helped. Lovely.
That's awesome. That's perfect. That's perfect ass Metafilter.
It made me very happy. And I grew up next door to Digital Equipment Corporation, so I'm like, my hometown, even though that had nothing to do with it. And Randolph Products is the name of the company, and I live in Randolph, Vermont. Bam!
It all ties together, man.
It's wow.
It's a web.
Yeah, that's my one beer hitting right now. Whoa, it's all connected.
I enjoyed this question from Curious New, who is a Portland Nephite, about songs in a minor key that is a coal
like
miner.
What? How did I miss this?
Well, it's funny because I don't feel like he got answers
to
the,
right there in the title.
Yeah, see, you naturally were like, you shuddered and rooted around.
No, you know what it is? I have titles turned off, so I missed it entirely.
So his question was, lots of laboring jobs have a history of singing while working. Does mining, are there miner songs? And the interesting thing is there's a bunch of great answers to the question, but they're not answers to the question I think he was trying to ask.
It's songs about mines that people are giving, but what he's asking is songs about while you're mining.
Yeah, songs people would sing in the mine, I think is what he's going for. But the thing is, a couple people noted, you know, it's hard to breathe in a mine. You know, people probably are not going to waste the extra...
Zamboni,
you know,
with the truth again. Who is this person? He's all over it.
He's an actual sentient Zamboni. He was struck by lightning at midnight, January 1st, 2000... He was the one thing that actually had the Y2K bug, and that bug is known as self-awareness. And so now he answers questions on the internet. I mean, you think I'm kidding, but look, he didn't sign up till 2007. He'd been sentient for a while and sort of getting bored with, you know, AOL. He's like, Metafilter, I heard good about that.
Keep talking.
Anyway, yep. So anyway, I like mining songs. I don't know why I like mining songs exactly, but I do. You know, there's a bunch of good ones. And it's
Spring Hill Mining Disaster, I grew up on that song. Like, my dad would sing it. I thought my dad wrote that song. I was wondering where the Spring Hill Mine was in my town. And then U2 covered it, and I was like, my childhood, it is over.
No, they took it from your dad. Bono
apparently.
Was, you know, real tight, those two.
I was always fond of Oh My Darling Clementine because it's one of the only children's songs that's about an accidental drowning. And then
lips above the water, blowing bubbles. Yeah, exactly.
And then of course there's the last lyric that doesn't end up in most songs. There's a churchyard on the hillside where the flowers grow in vine. There grow rosies amongst the posies, fertilized by clementine. Which is kind of fantastic. My kids love that version.
You made that up.
Did not. Pete Seeger.
What?
That's the Pete Seeger version. Yeah, it's really good.
He's a scamp. You got any particular favorites from Ask this last month, GJ?
The things that I like about Ask Metafilter are usually the... I usually dip into people who have funeral or death related questions, and a lot of time people on Twitter will alert me to a conversation that I need to give a little professionalism to. The things that I really like, though, the one that I really liked this month was about office supplies. Someone was looking for new office supplies that were kind of fancy. Because,
I saw this one.
The only thing I like better than office supplies are fancy office supplies. And so I went through there and I made a lot of
bookmarks. By Joycey and Machine.
Yeah.
This is for lady style desk accessories.
It is lady style desk accessories, which are usually the best. Yeah.
Wow. So wait, did you answer this or you just read it?
I just read it. What I find interesting is the Ask threads like this where there's only 19 answers, but 64 favorites.
Yeah, we need to have like a name for those because we talk about them on the podcast. They come up all the time.
I've had a clumsy name I've used for them for years. I think of them as things with high referenceability. Like people bookmark them not because they want to participate, but just because they think that's going to be a useful reference.
Favorites,
somehow.
They're bookmarks, right, Josh?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
In this case, they totally are. I absolutely believe this pile of favorites is people who are like, oh yeah, I want to be able to come back to that, not just like I approve of you asking about off supplies, thumbs up, you know. There's some genuine freaking bookmark utility right there.
Now I'm stuck looking at all these pages of all these like
that's good stuff.
Sexy notebooks. This is a nightmare. Oh, I do have to tell you, gentlemen, this is only vaguely related, but Jim went back to visit his family, and one of the things he got when he was there, because his family's in the process, his parents live in Arizona, and they're going to downsize and move to a smaller place. And one of the, and you know, as most parents do in that, they're like, get your shit. He's like, what? What? You have my shit? But apparently he had like a stamp collection when he was younger that wasn't even really his stamp collection, but it was kind of like someone in the family had gotten him. I don't know if you guys are the right age for this, but like in the 70s especially, you could buy like a kind of a notebook that would come with like special stamps from that year. And
oh, wow.
A little collection thing that, you know, you could learn about the individual stamps from the year. It would have like 10 stamps and you could stick them in this notebook in a special way and it would tell you about those stamps. And somebody in Jim's family got him those notebooks for like every year from like 1970, I guess, to like 1979.
Huh.
And so it's, and they've got all the stamps, which are unused, which, as you know, are legitimate U.S. postage.
That is correct.
Yeah, from all those years. And so now I have all these. I mean, some of them are kind of too cool to use, but a lot of them are like, whatever, you know. But like, some of them are like, keep our air clean, keep our water clean, like
fantastic.
Shit we cared about in the 70s that we've completely forgotten that we cared about. And so part of my kind of mail thing, which I share with GJ, is getting to find the appropriate stamp to put on the appropriate envelope in order to send them out. Because Jim's like, I don't really send a lot of mail. and when I do, I don't want to put like a cool stamp on the fucking electric bill. So why don't you take these? So it's all these weird old stamps from like different decade, different dates, different years in the 70s that are now mine to get to put on stuff. Oh, and sorry, I do ramble on.
No,
when I
was
up in the attic, because I'm at my father's house for the summer. One of the things I found was all the wedding stationery they hadn't used from when he got married 15 years ago to the woman who later divorced him and then married someone else, and it was a big story. But a lot of them are like these big, beautiful, thick, white envelopes that have stamps on them.
Already on them.
And they're not addressed or anything, so you can just have them. It's like finding money in the attic. Beautiful white envelopes. I'll send you one, GJ. They're lovely.
I would love that.
Although, if they're not forever stamps, do you have to just like slap another stamp on there to actually?
I gotta put another stamp on.
That's kind of rad, though. If it's like an older stamp, and then you're just like, there's this weird span of time between two pieces of adhesive backed paper.
I like to think that the post office appreciates it.
Yeah.
Back when I was in college, they used to have automatic stamp machines at the student union, and so if you needed, you know, let's say a 29-cent stamp, it would give you a 29-cent stamp and then a 1-cent stamp. And since most people had no use for a 1-cent stamp,
they just leave them?
They would just leave them in the machine. And so every now and then there'd be just a long line of 1-cent stamps, five or six, you know, and I would always just tear them off. And then my favorite thing to do would be to send somebody a letter, but instead of a 29-cent stamp, you would put 29 1-cent stamps on.
I do occasionally pull shit like that, like put 10 5-cent stamps on or whatever.
There you go.
You can totally do it. You
sometimes,
can totally do it.
I sometimes when I need to mail a postcard, I just use a first-class stamp anyway.
Oh, see, it's the like post office appreciates that. They make money on you.
Exactly. I'm the arbitrage or breakage, I guess that's what it's called. That keeps the post
office
alive.
It makes it worth the hassle of all the bizarre postcards I get addressed to like whatever the shit.
I'm putting some
nonsense
back in the system to balance out your weird mail.
The hassle factor.
I figure that you probably only have so much mail related labor to do in the Randolph area on any given day. So at a certain point, once you're already employing the postal service person, they may have that extra like, you know, 5 minutes to do a little bit of routing or something.
I sent a postcard addressed to Jessamine, addressed to simply one of the greatest people in the world, and then her zip code, and it got to her.
Amazing.
As it should.
It's a good life, this life. And thank you for that, DJ. It was very sweet.
Oh, there's an ask from just the last couple of days that's sort of a fun, sort of borderline chatty.
This has been my favorite. Why aren't you moderating this harder? Everybody's fucking around.
I mostly haven't been on shift when there's been any stuff in there. There's been a few things deleted, but I think
you
people
deleted and undeleted this comment. Oh, you're my enemy.
I think it was someone had a like thoughtful response sort of situation, but yeah, mostly what's happened here is happening when I wasn't on the clock, so I'm just gonna, you know, punt. But anyway,
no, I'm sending you a link
fun.
Right now.
The thread is
right
fun.
Now.
Oh, okay. We'll just stop and have a discussion about this. Oh, geez, I don't even remember. I know. Okay, yes, the penis speakers. Yeah. Anyway, I have no further comment on penis speakers.
By DZ Wang. I can't make this up.
But yeah. Anyway, it's a fun thread. It's a fun thread, and it's one of those things where, to some extent, it's going to be a little bit subjective, and it's sort of like, people are totally wrong about this thing that other people are like, no, actually, you're wrong. It's like, what do you do? But it's fun.
Right. It's one of those like, you know, stand or sit, butt wipe kind of things, yeah. Except give me a whole bunch of them.
Exactly.
And one of the criteria is it has to be a thing that, like, people really believe that everybody does it that way, right? Like, if you're a person who, like, wipes your butt when you sit, the fact that other people stand up, you're, like, surprised. So some of these things kind of devolve into not that thing. But it is really interesting, especially for me, reading through the thread and being like, what? That person is that kind of asshole? You know? Because, like, some of these things are clearly just wrong. But I am aware that that is a problem that I have, and I'm working on it.
You can learn all these new specific reasons to want to kill someone. It's, yeah. Yeah.
Although I did find out recently, I went out to get ice cream at one of those places that just has porta potties, and I went after my friend. My friend isn't a Mephite, so it's okay to say this thing. She went before me, and I think she's one of those ladies that pees on the seat because she hovers.
Oh.
And, like, what do you do? They're the worst kinds of people.
Yeah, I mean, like if you want to hover, that's fine. But just, like, maybe check.
It's your own pee. You wipe it up.
I should talk. I pee standing up, so I'm probably, you know, a perennial source of
problems. That's normal for dudes, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna.
I assume you and your wife both clean the bathroom.
Yeah, and you know, I'll lift the what do you call the. It's not the poop ring, whatever
the seat.
Well, because there's the seat. I guess it's the seat and then the cover. And I was thinking the cover is the seat, but
the
no,
cover's anyway. The lid. Listen, and the seat is the seat.
How did I have trouble coming up with seat? This is I have no idea.
That must be some strong beer.
Yeah, it's very Harry Pottery. It's very magical.
See, and when you say that, it's like Harry Potter, and it's weird.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. See, you can
Harry?
Do it. If you want to.
I bet Hagrid would say, like, he, like, you're a wizard, Harry. He wouldn't say Harry. So
yeah, he
I'm
would.
With, I'm with, nah, I'm with Hagrid.
GJ.
Hagrid. See, that's the way I said it in my head. So
solidarity.
He's Hagrid to me, but I'm from New England, so I don't even. But that thread is delightful. It's super fun, and I can deal with the wrong people to learn things about the other people.
Exactly. You know, just learning about the world, learning about people. In a context that doesn't involve someone's relationship failing, which, you know, that's important stuff, too.
Or them being bad to their kids or pets.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to just go light.
Speaking of light, I enjoyed this very brief Max Sparber sort of one-and-done 23-minute thread. I'm looking for the name of some random old cookbook, vague description, blah-bitty-blah, something. And he's like, oh, that's this. Oh, yeah, it is. It's got to be the shortest ever. I mean, it's like, it's 15 words. Like, the whole, like, two sets of answers. No one else answers it. Best answered. Bam. July 1st. The best.
Yep. No, it's beautiful. That's classic Ask Me.
It made me very happy.
And it's so specific, too. It's like, this is one of those things where it's like, on the one hand, this is going to be useful to no one. On the other hand, it's going to be useful to one random person on the internet when they're Googling and they hit the right keywords. And they're like, oh, my God, I found it. And so, yeah.
Right.
the long
so
tail, man.
So anything else from Ask Metafilter? Gentlemen, we have a ability to bring this in under 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of excited about it. I got no more Ask. I've got a couple of Metafilter posts that I could mention, but you know, I'm going to do a quick micro mention of this one just because no one commented on it, and I liked it.
What do you mean no one commented on it? Is that possible?
5 people commented on it.
You just called 5 people no one.
Relatively. Comparatively no one.
Hello, you know. Jed, Cortex, Item, Nibirius, and Item again. I am sorry, Josh called you no one.
I called myself no one. I'm in that mix. This is a post by Moon Milk of Ruler Comics by Alabaster. And I was super charmed by them. And I think it just sort of like passed by. But it was a bunch of comments or a bunch of comics.
Wait, Ruler Comics did that one about the lady staring at the other guy's butt using the mirrors?
That might be the same person. I never made that
you
connection.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know
though,
the
right?
comic you're talking about. The layout certainly looks similar, so it could be.
Ha, 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 ha. But I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, anyway, Ruler Comics is just a bunch of 9-panel little cartoons illustrating various Amazon reviews of a inexpensive, you know, 12-inch ruler. And they're fantastic, and I love them. And I think everybody should go read them.
Although I don't know if there are any posts with no comments, I actually did my first front page post in a long time, and it literally got one comment.
Excellent.
Wait, this month?
This month, yeah.
How did we not prepare and know that, Josh?
I don't know. You could have just been making fun of me the whole time.
We were not.
I
we
read this great memoir. And was reading more about the author, and he had written this thing about writing memoirs. I thought it was interesting, and I shared it, and one comment. And the only comment that it got is, I'm trying to read this site, but it seems to be having server problems.
Oh, jeez.
So I checked the site probably 2 dozen times that day, obsessively, and there was no problem with the server. So, but...
Well, everybody else who tried to read it and comment on it, they died of a novelty urn inscription-related accident.
So,
this is a great introduction, though. I'm loving it already.
Yeah, I just sat there at home and
hit reload
and cried and
see. You don't hit reload. Just leave it open and wait for new comments to show up. And then when they don't, then you hit reload. And
it was
feel
email,
that much more ashamed.
Email PB and
yeah,
say,
yeah, like, hey, I think something's wrong with it. It's not loading the new comments. Let's. Yeah.
It was actually very interesting to me to see a thread with no comments or just one comment.
Yeah,
because
every time,
you hardly ever see that anymore.
Yeah, every time I see it, like I get excited. Maybe it really won't get any comments. I see it every once in a while, and then something will happen. The dam will break, and it's like, oh, okay, now it just has not very many comments. But
I've also been on Metafilter long enough to have a series of bookmarks, and one of my favorite bookmarks that I have is a front page post with 0 links in it.
Wait.
Yeah, let me see if I have it here. It was a post way, way back, and it was just a front page post that said, "Hey, who likes smoking weed?"
You are lying. That
no,
didn't
and
happen.
It stayed up.
This is like the first year.
Here we go. Yeah, hold on a second.
There was if you read back through the first
July
year of
Metafilter, 2001.
Oh, wow, 2001 even. It was pre 9/11. 9/11
that's
changed
almost,
everything.
That's almost pre me.
Yeah, I would have been a member, but.
By bytecode, who I don't even recognize, user number 2626. Hey, there's Andrew Cook, who is back, I have to say.
Yes.
Welcome back, Andrew Cook. That's
yes.
very exciting.
Back without a space. Signed up a new handle with no space in it.
There's Brad.
Jay Fuller, still around.
Optimistic, still around.
This is solid.
Scott,
solid
not around as much,
here.
But I see him on Facebook all the time. Jay Bushnell, still around. Mars Saxman, still around. This is awesome.
Claudius or Claudius.
Me, still around. Pot makes me itch. What?
Well, don't rub it in your eyeballs, because then your eyes would. I don't know where I'm going with that exactly, but
Oliver Willis.
Yes.
Oh, Willis. David SMC is really doing the. Wow! Wow!
Well, I like what, like, every couple of years there will be some big Metafilter news thing, and then some of these people will just, like, show up in MetaTalk, and I really enjoy that. Like, even though they've basically, you know, some of them have, you know, stopped using the site, don't really check in anymore, but then they're like, oh, yeah, Metafilter. I should go say hi. I always enjoy it.
Oh, hey, everybody.
Yeah. It's been 7 years. How you doing? It's cool, that continuity. The fact that the site's got a long enough life that someone could hang around for many years and then stop hanging around for many years, and then there's still a site to come back to and be like, oh, yeah, it's been a while.
And the format's exactly the same.
Hey, we got that new theme. Not that you use it, but
I don't know anything about that. Nothing. I know nothing about that.
You know, some things that don't break in the new theme, like if someone manages to fail to close a tag in the classic theme, that breaks because of the way the CSS on that theme works. Doesn't happen on the new theme. So every once in a while I see a display error now, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with this post. I can't see. Everything looks fine. And then eventually I look and say, like, oh, except for they did this one thing that breaks only if you're using the other theme. And so people using that are like, but, you know, there's no contact form about it because people are like, well, it's obvious what's wrong with it. I'll just play it as a display error. And, it's the travails, the difficulties of managing a website, let me tell you. You guys have anything else you want to mention?
Just wanted to mention that Taz has been killing it in the best of sidebar. Yes. That just mentions how we just got fanfare. Maybe someone should update it, except you can't because it's Matt's.
Yeah, we'll poke him about that. She's been doing great.
Awesome.
She's been doing great. We've been trying to throw links around a little bit more behind the scene, and she's been doing a fantastic job of looking the stuff up herself, collating stuff other people have brought up, and just getting stuff posted like every day. And it's really, really great. I feel like we've been sort of on the chattier side in this part of the podcast. This is what's probably going to be a little bit more link light than a typical one.
On over to Best Of, where there's a thing every day.
Look
and
at the sidebar.
Got to talk to DJ, which is important.
Yes.
Has value.
Yes, wow, exactly.
Thank you very much.
I'd trade it for that any day.
Any day.
I'd trade my eye teeth. What are eye teeth? I've always...
They're your pointy teeth.
Why are they called eye teeth?
Mine have eyes on them, don't yours?
I'm so uncomfortable right now.
If I could, I wanted to thank y'all for this opportunity.
No, absolutely.
This was really fun, and I really enjoyed it. I have two quick commercials, if that's okay.
Do it.
Depends what they're commercials for.
If they're terrible, I'll edit them out.
I wanted to say this is something that comes up a lot on Metafilter, and it's worth mentioning. Making end-of-life plans.
Yes, I can also back this.
It's never too early to start thinking about end-of-life plans for yourself, and especially for your parents, if you still have them. It's an uncomfortable conversation, but try to have it. It's hard making all those decisions after someone has died, but it's a lot harder if you've never talked about it ever. And
Advanced Healthcare Directive, Durable Power of Attorney, End of Life Planning, Funeral Arrangements, all the stuff.
Absolutely. Durable Power of Attorney, so you can even make decisions after someone dies. Most people don't know Power of Attorney ceases at death.
I did not know that.
Yep, there you go. My other quick commercial is if anyone's listening to this and you've never actually met someone from Metafilter in real life, if you're just reading it every day and you see the links for meetups and you think that's not something I would enjoy, go to the meetups, meet other Metafilter people in real life, become their friends. Without exception, every single person I've met from Metafilter is awesome.
Likewise.
In a real unique way.
You can even just go have a drink and just sit and listen and hang out if you don't feel like interacting, chatting, or whatever.
Absolutely. Some of my best friends in the entire world are the people that I've met through this website, and I couldn't overstate how much it means to me and how much y'all mean to me. So there you go.
Absolutely seconded. It's meetups are fantastic. I have gotten down to Birmingham while I was here in Huntsville. I've gotten out of Chattanooga.
That's right. I saw the picture. You had a little meetup.
Yeah, yeah. And a few people came out in Chattanooga, so I got pictures. I got a post from that. I talked people into flipping off a camera so I can send that to you, GJ.
Wonderful.
For your being flipped off connection.
I absolutely love that. That's right up there with I mentioned one time that I enjoyed to eat beets, and so now I get beet recipes all the time.
Excellent.
I mentioned one time that I like people when they send pictures of themselves flipping off, and I've gotten about 400
Yeah, Kate and I send one pretty much on every holiday we're together because we know GJ loves them.
I still want to see like a coffee table book of that.
They never cease to make me laugh. Some of them are a little X-rated, but...
X-rated? R-rated? X-rated?
X. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
sister tells me that this world exists, and I have a very difficult time getting my like old Yankee head around it.
Without being too terribly specific, because it would implicate people here on Metafilter, there are people who enjoy taking pictures while doing activities that maybe are not fit for polite society. A lot of pictures of people
like off-track betting, like off-track betting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Filling out little scorecards.
Just like off-track betting.
Yeah. Scurrilous. Wearing a hat indoors.
I'm so happy y'all found each other.
Well, yes, absolutely. People, go to meetups. Go to IRL. Go hang out with people. Get to know Mephites. It's you know, even Mephites if you have to. But
we're good people.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things about this website. So people...
Good people.
Get out there and do it. See each other. Make friends. Make connections. And yeah, GJ, thank you so much for coming on. It was really fun talking to you and getting some funerary stories and so on.
Yeah, I'm so glad you came. It's always great to hear your voice.
I appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
All right. Sure. Well, we will call this good, and we'll talk to y'all in about a month. And yeah.
Sounds great. Have a great August.
All right.